Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone that is tuned in on today. I am the host of this particular radio show. This is your show. This is Prophetically Speaking Radio Broadcast. I am Prophetess Trinoncia Balka, and along with me, every week, every Tuesday, I have an awesome co-host, and her name is Prophetess Doria Jenkins. Prophetess Jenkins, how are you on today?
I'm doing great today. So good to hear your voice. Glad to be on the broadcast today. Thanking Jesus for a wonderful day.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad to hear your voice as well. And so glad that we have the opportunity to just share a word from on high with our listeners on today. Woman of God, tell me what's going on there in the city of Louisiana, in the city of New Iberia on today.
Praise God. We are having a wonderful, it's not cold. That's a good thing. It's not cold. Kind of rainy, but it's a blessed day anyway. I have visitors here. My granddaughter's here from Texas, and we're having a great time in the Lord, just fellowshipping. And I thank God for today. And can I just go ahead and give my shout-out to right now?
Absolutely.
Amen, amen, amen. I am so glad. I greet the listeners today with the love of Jesus Christ that died and rose again for us. I greet you all. I want you all to know that we love you all. We appreciate you listening. We thank God for you. We will not be on broadcast if you were not listening. So we thank God for the audience today. I give a shout out to my pastors, Bishop Harold Antwine and Senior Pastor Clary Antwine here in New Iberia, Louisiana, where they pastor the church Glory Victory Full Gospel Church here in Iberia. I am so glad to have them as pastors. They're sweet people. Just allowing us to move prophetically and spiritually in the house of the Lord. I thank God for my family. I have a whole bunch of families here, and cousins and nieces and nephews. I thank God for every one of them, for the respect they have given me in respecting the call of God in my life. I thank God for the woman of God, the host of this program, Prophetess Trinoncia Balka. I thank God for the woman of God that she comes up with tremendously good ideas. I mean, ideas and words that make you say, let me ponder it. Let me think. Let me read about this. So I thank God for you, woman of God. I thank God for us being here together to bless the people on this prophetically blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And I just want to again thank God for you. And I want to take the time, as I listened to our show last week, I know that you send me some love from a wonderful woman of God, the pastor there. And I just want to take a moment to let Pastor Sarah know and Bishop know that I love them and that I just thank God for them so much. And so I want, you know, everybody there to know, because it's just always such a blessing when I'm able to look on my Facebook page or when I'm able to look on my inbox messages. They always, someone always sends me a hello. I looked in just this week, and I had a message. I believe it was from the Songye family, and they were sending me a hello and just letting me know that they love me and that they're still praying for me. Had another message, I believe it was from Sister Brenda Darby. And so I just want them all to know that I love them so much, and I just thank God for them. And I thank God for everything that God is doing there in Louisiana. And the woman of God, as always, I thank God for you and for the wonderful work that you're doing for the kingdom. And I thank God in advance for your strength. And I thank God for strengthening you to do all it is that he's putting your hands to do. And so I love you. And as I stated on last week, I give God praise for your realness and for your authenticity. And I just thank God for you and for everyone that's connected to you. I want you all to know I love you and I bless God for you. And I also want to send a very special shout out today to Miss Diane Davis and let her know that I love her. And she keeps with me on Facebook, and I just want to know, Diane, I love you, and I want you to keep on praying for me, and I'm going to keep on praying for you. And so thank God for that. And I also want to take the time to give some shout-outs here. And so I want to give some wonderful shout-outs to my family. One wonderful shout-out to my son, a woman of God. We have a new addition to our family. We have a puppy. And so, yes, we have a new addition to the family. And so my son is being blessed to have this wonderful little addition placed into our family. And I do love the little pup a bit. I really do. It's just that, you know, animals are animals. And so we have to deal with the training aspect of it and wanting to be human when they're actually an animal. So we have to go through these type of things. But, however, we have a new addition to the family now. So we want to welcome our new member of the family. And so I want to thank God for my son. And then I want to give a grand shout-out right now. It's just really in my spirit to my church, my home church, which is the Harvest Time Church, and under the leadership of Bishop Shelton Beatty and, you know, woman of God. Right now, at this moment, I'm really excited about our topic on today. But I've stated to you before that I do travel in ministry right now. I've been on a quick hiatus due to the fact that I had a small, you know, little incident with my foot that I had to get a little bit more in time than I personally would have cared to take. But however, I'm on hiatus, resting from traveling a bit. But one of the things that, say, whenever I go places, and you and I have spoken about this before, is that I always like to be stationed at home when I need to be at home. I prefer to be at church on Sunday when we have service, and I prefer to be at Bible study when we have Bible study. And the reason being, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in the show today, and the reason being is because I do believe that God has given me a word. I do believe that God has anointed me to preach the gospel according to Isaiah 61. I do believe that. But I also believe that God has not spoken everything to me. And I believe that covering is important. And so there are times when I'm sitting in the house under the leadership of Bishop Beatty, and I'm able to get revelation. God is able to speak to me. God is able to give me words of encouragement, words of acknowledgement. God speaks to me through the words that I'm hearing there at the Harvest Time Church. So there are many times, even when I'm writing in my books or even when I'm on the radio, there are words that have been planted into my spirit that I am reverberating as a result of me being fed there in the house. So at this time, I really want to thank God for the Harvest Time Church, and I want to thank God for the leadership that we have. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment, but I thank God that we have been, over the past couple of weeks, we've been in a series, a couple of different topics that we've had, but we have been being taught on preparing for promotion. We've been being taught about being positioned for promotion. We have been talking about the force of faith. So there are different things that that's been being taught under the leadership of Bishop Beatty that has been a blessing to my life, that has really inspired me to know more about the Word of God and inspired me to even speak more about these things, even as we speak on our own radio show. And so the topic that we are now indulging in right now is he's speaking of the marriage factor. And within the marriage factor, it even enlightens me a little bit more about what we're going to talk about today. In the marriage factor, one of the things that he highlighted was covering, and that it is important for every person that is married, every woman that is married, it is important that she acknowledges her head. And, of course, we know that as a married, an individual that's married, the husband is the head of the home, the head of the family. But for those that have not yet entered into a marriage covenant, you have to look at your covering as being God. God is the covering. And so I'm excited about our topic on today, Woman of God. And we have been speaking on assignments. And as of last week, I was sharing a testimony of how God spoke to me and showed me a door. And behind the door, I saw a lush field. I saw green grass. I saw a field that was ready to be harvested. And the Lord gave me the scripture last week with our virtue values and with our word for the power word for today. And so one of the things as well I wanted to highlight, because on this week we also have our virtue values and we also have our power word for today. And I really hope that each person that is listening will take a moment out of your day each week and just take a look at what those virtue values are. Take a look at what the power word of the day is, because one of the things, woman of God, that I am just getting a bit antsy about is that I never want to speak prophetically from an emotional state. I never want to speak prophetically of having a motive behind what I'm saying God told me to say. So whenever I give the virtue values or whenever I give the power word, one of the things that I'm becoming even more intentional about is really talking to God about, God, I don't want this to just be a word that you've spoken to me about me, but I want to be able to put something on here that's going to minister to the readers, that's going to minister to the listeners, because it's not all about just Prophetess Jenkins and I. It's not all about just what TB Ministries is doing, but when we come forth as Prophetess Gloria Jenkins, as Prophetess Fenosia Balka, we want to give you something that's going to bless your heart, that's going to bless your soul, and something that you'll be able to refer back to the Word of God, that we're just not shooting from the hip. We're just not coming forth with something that has no biblical basis, that has no foundation in which that you can prop that word upon. So anytime we come forth, whether it's a virtue value or whether it's a power word, whether it's us coming up with a topic on this particular show, that topic, that word, that virtue value has to be stationed on a firm foundation, which is the Word of God. And so I said all that in the middle of my shout-out, and so I do thank God for my church. I thank God for my bishop. I thank God for my family and woman of God. I thank God for you, and we're going to get into this show today, but again, we are talking about assignments. And today, as we talk about assignment, woman of God, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to share with you all, we're going to hit some points. And one of the points we're going to hit on today, when we are speaking of entering into your God-ordained assignment. Now, let me make it clear when we talk about assignment. Anytime we come forth with anything, we want to be from God. We're not talking about an assignment that you have conjured up or I have conjured up. We're not talking about something that may be a good idea, but it's not a God idea. We're not talking about something that we wanted to do, and so now we're going to take the opportunity to say, this is my assignment. No, we're talking about what it is that God has purposed you to do. As I stated on last week, you have one purpose, which our purpose is always going to the end of that purpose, always should be to give glory to God. Within us giving glory to God, there are going to be many different assignments that God hands out. For each person, in order to fulfill that purpose, it's going to look different for each person. For one person that may be a singer, you may travel the world singing. You may cut albums. You may be a recording artist. That's how it may look for that person. But in the end, God needs to get the glory. For one other person, you may be a banker. That may be the purpose that God has placed you here on this earth to do. But within that, your assignment then looks different, because God may use you to be a financial blessing to the kingdom. God may use you to give wisdom and insight to those that are within the body, to teach us how to be financially sound, how to make financially wise decisions. For you, your assignment may look a little bit different than that of the singer. So for each person, when you are operating in your purpose and you are then moving into your assignment, it's going to look different for each person. So as we talk about assignment, as we dissect the topic of assignment, we have different topics, we have different components of this particular word that we're going to bring out. So today, the component that we're going to discuss is the component of positioning. Now, For those of you that haven't had an opportunity to look at our power word for today, we're going to be able to discuss that for just a moment. And the power word, and I am now going on here so I can read it exactly to you the way I put it. Let me just back up. The power, first of all, let me read that scripture that I gave you in our virtue values, because I really did like that. And that virtue values actually was coming from Nehemiah 4. And then we're going to go to the 13th verse. And it says, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest point of the wall, families, with their swords, spears, and bows. Now, that's going to be from Nehemiah 4 and 13. And so as well, woman of God, are you able to pull up your Facebook at this time?
Yes, I shouldn't pull it right now.
Okay.
I wrote everything down from that.
Okay. We're going to talk about that for just a moment. Now, on the site, we actually use the King James Version, which reads, therefore, I positioned men behind the four parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. The caption that I wrote was, the people were aligned in proper formation with like-minded warriors, armed and dangerous, ready to fulfill their assignment. The question was, how about you? Ready, set, go. Our power word for today is positioned. Condition, which, well, let me tell you this, it means this. Condition in reference to place, location, or situation. So today we're going to talk about position. The scripture foundation that we're going to be leaning on today is going to be coming out of Nehemiah 4 and 13. Therefore, I positioned. We're talking about Nehemiah. If you read the entire story, this is where they were rebuilding the wall. And right here in Nehemiah 4 and 13, it says, therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. One of the things, woman of God, when we are looking at assignment, one of the things that is so important about being effective in our assignment is positioning. And when we talk about positioning today, the positioning really, really has to take place in the mind before it can take place on the outer parts. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
It has to take place. And when I read the scripture, the first thing that really stands out to me, right here, and we're talking about Nehemiah, he says, therefore, I positioned men. I'm going to say that one more time. It says, therefore, I positioned men. And woman of God, when I read this, and when I begin to allow this to marinate in my spirit, the one point here that stood out to me so strongly was the point of leadership. One of the things that is not going to be conducive for any of us in the body of Christ in this season is we cannot be rogue saints. If we're going to be properly positioned to fulfill our God-ordained purpose, if we're going to joyfully fulfill our purpose and do what God has assigned us to do, leadership is important. Leadership is important. He says, therefore, I positioned men. So when I read that, that said to me that not only was this leader attentive to the people that he had there, because it says to me, woman of God, he got individuals that he knew would be able to stand, watch. At that point, he got individuals that he knew had been trained properly. He got individuals that he knew was able to do the job that he needed them to do. And so when he was able to do that, the Bible says those are the people that he positioned. Woman of God, when we talk about leadership, and we talk about leadership is the one that positioned the people in the proper formation, what are your thoughts on that?
Hallelujah. Like you say, leadership plays a major role Because being on the leadership, that leader must know you individually. Sitting on the leadership, you must, that person must know you. And when I look at the Nehemiah 4:13, I think about how Nehemiah began to position the people accordingly. Who was going to do what and who was going to do the other? He protected. Some had swords and spears and bows, but they also, as you read further, that you begin to look at the context of the word, you begin to see how the people were working the wall. They faced continued threats of terrorist attacks because they didn't want the wall to be Jerusalem to be revealed. They didn't want it to be revealed. So,
right.
And that comes to me naturally and spiritually, that when you get positioned in your call, in your assignment, you're going to get some threats. You're going to get some attacks from the enemy. You're going to get some attacks from people to tell you who called you to that. You know, you have to know and stand firm in your position and stand firm in your assignment that God has placed you in. The same. This is a very good example of what you, the power word that you use, position. Your position means a whole lot, not just in when they begin to rebuild Jerusalem, but in your assignment. You have to have a firm position you're standing on when you begin to go about doing the things of the Lord. Amen?
Amen. And you know, the thing I love about this scripture is that when you really take the time and read,
mm-hmm,
the story. Let me just read a couple of scriptures here,
mm-hmm,
that are in alignment with this so that we can get a clear understanding of when we talk about positioning, what this positioning entails. All right. Now, again, this is one that we have in the site on our Facebook site. That's going to be a different version, but I'll tell you about the versions momentarily. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest point of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, in your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. So here they had an assignment, but what they had was an opposition to their assignment.
Yes.
And when the leader said, therefore I positioned men, it's important that when we are prepared to go into assignment, we have to have leadership that hears from God.
Yes.
Now, when you're at a place where you can say, okay, I know that my leadership hears from God. I know that my leader is going to take us into the victory. I know that leadership is going to take us in the right direction. It's important that we are in agreement with the leader. It's important that we have an ear to hear what the leader has to say. It's important that we are properly covered by the correct leader. It's important because it says here, therefore I positioned the men. It didn't say that he went to this or that. He, as the leader, said, I know who's going to be able to do what.
Mm-hmm.
So he positioned the men, and he knew where to position them.
Yes.
And he knew who to put them around. And he knew what they needed to get the job done.
Hmm.
If we read the scripture, it says he positioned them. He placed them because he put them behind the lower parts of the wall and at the opening. And then he surrounded them by like-minded people. He set them according to their families. And then it says with their swords, their spears, and their bows, he gave them just what they needed to get the job done. And when we look at this and we're talking about assignment, let's look at it in the eyesight of God being the leader that we're discussing here on today. We've got to be able to hear from God as to what our assignment is And when God tells us what our assignment is, then we have to listen for his voice so that he can correctly position us so that we can fulfill the assignment at hand. Now, where does positioning first begin? It has to first begin in the mind. When we talk about this positioning, this is a positioning that we can look at that it was a natural positioning. But when we look at spiritual positioning, there's a question. Where is your spirit positioned when it's time for you to enter into your assignment? I hope I'm saying this in a way that everyone can understand. And Prophetess Glory, I would love to have your insight here because I want everyone to have a clear understanding. When we begin to talk about positioning, your mind as well has to be positioned. You cannot have the mind of a loser and determine that you're going to go in the steps of a winner. When you look at yourself, you have to look at yourself and see yourself as God has made you to be. You have to use your own mouth to say that you are who God says you are. But if this is not done in your mind, then your assignment will not be properly fulfilled. Because if you have allowed the devil to tell you in your mind, you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes, you're not from the right family. You know, I remember woman of God, and when Jesus came along, question that said, can any good thing come out of this place? Mm-hmm. Can any good thing come from mm-hmm. there? Many times we've been looked on like that as people.
Amen.
People can generalize you. People can say because you're from that side of the track, because your skin color is that, because the way you look is that, because of your educational barriers, it's that, because of your family history, it's that. And people may say, really? Can any good thing come from that? But even when that question was posed to the one man that was sent here, the only man that was qualified to shed his blood for the sins of the world, that man came from a place where nobody really admit. Really? Can any good thing really come from there? However, God did wonders with his life. And that's the same thing that God wants with us. He wants us to be properly positioned in our mind. He wants us to be properly positioned in our spirit. Yes. He wants us to be properly positioned in the natural so that we can go forth and conquer and do everything that God has called us to do. So out of this right here, the one thing, woman of God, that really catches my attention is when he says, therefore, I positioned men. Yes. Are we in proper leadership? Are we adhering to the word of the leader? You know, one of the things I found out, woman of God, I know at harvest time, we have a lot of members. We have a large congregation. So it will be impossible for Bishop Beatty to be able to go through and prophesy and give an individual word to every single person that's there. That's a lot of work for one man to do. So one of the things I've learned to do, and not just with Bishop Beatty, because we have other individuals that get the mic. Anytime someone picks up the mic, anytime someone podium, anytime that your presence demands my attention because you've been placed in that position for a particular assignment, my ears are open. I don't want to say that I can only hear from Bishop Beatty, but whoever mounts the podium, my ears open. And when my ears open, my ears are listening to God, what is it that you have to say? There are many times that leadership is speaking to us. Times when Bishop Beatty is up preaching, he's teaching the word of God. And someone may be in the church and they may say, well, I have a situation at home that I really don't know what to do. I really don't know how to handle it. At that moment, You have to be listening to leadership. Everything else has to go out of the window. Everything else has to come secondary, because your leader the entire time is giving you the instructions that you need. Right here it says, therefore I position them. There are times when God is using your leader to tell you exactly what you need to do, how you need to do it, and when you need to do it. It's just a matter of you opening your ears, opening your eyes, opening your spirit, becoming transparent in the presence of God, and hearing what the leadership has to say to you. Leadership is important because, again, he says, therefore, I position men. Now, if they had gotten to a point, woman of God, where they were not paying attention, they were too busy playing. I just said they were playing hopscotch, or they were playing Uno. They were playing whatever. And the man of God is giving them instructions and telling them, I want you to go over here, and I want you to go over there. And so the whole entire time, he's giving instructions. And they're playing Uno and hopscotch and kingfish. And they're not listening to what the leader is saying. And so then when it's time to go forth, still doing what they were used to doing, when the leader has already given new instructions on what he intends for them to do. So now you have half of the army that will be ready to go and fight, and you have the other half that is still doing what they used to do because they were not listening to the instructions from the leader. Does that make sense, woman of God?
That makes a lot of sense. When I think about that, I think about Nehemiah began to give the people strategically practical, wise steps to take to counteract the threats that was coming against them. He began to tell them what they needed to do. And as a leader gets up to give you instruction, even in your assignment, even in your telling your position you should have in your assignment, we should be able to listen, especially if you trust the leadership that you're sitting under. Now, if you got trust in the leadership, then something's wrong with you. You need to get yourself together. Amen. So I'm saying this, that Nehemiah took some, he used wise, practical steps to counteract the threat that was coming against them. He began to tell the people what to do. He stationed guards at obvious weak points in that where they were coming, the weak spots. And then he reminded the workers to keep weapons close at hand in the fight to fight for God, for their families, in the nation. If an attack came, and he even established duties, rotation. Some stood guard and some worked. That's strategically setting up an armor and setting up a plan for the enemy to be defeated. We have to remember that in our assignment, the devil comes to defeat us. He does not want us to fulfill the call of God that God placed in our life. We must remember that God designed us. And he has a assignment for our life. We don't decide just to do it. The assignment, we have to discover that assignment. As God not going to just throw, as you begin to seek, pray, and seek God's face, and begin to talk to the Father, read the Word of God, God's going to begin to show you what your assignment is. If you don't know your assignment, my job is to encourage you that if you don't know your assignment, that's the steps you should do. Sitting under leadership. Because the leadership is going to give you instructions, but you have to do something in tune. You have to do something also. You have to be sure that we walk in total submission and obedience to the one who called us, to our assignment. You have to walk in obedience. We should have no problem living out our calling. We should have no, if we standing, sitting on a great leadership, doing what we need to do, and then God says to ready, set, go, we should be able to go. Amen. We should be able to go. If God said he knew us, the Bible, I look at Jeremiah 1:4, and it said he knew us even before we were forming our mother's womb. So he knew all about us. So when we come out into the world, the assignment is in our life. But it's for us to discover that assignment and to walk and put ourselves in that position. Position means a lot. I think about something naturally in our life, that if we are playing a baseball game and everybody are in place, first base, second base, third base, outfield, infield, whatever, and everybody's in their place, so when that person comes up to bat, the opposite team comes to bat, and he hits the ball, that person's got to be in the right position on the cassette ball in order to put that person on. But the
absolutely.
Same thing for being natural. We're not in the right position. That could be in every game, everything we do naturally in life. But spiritually, we're not in the right position. In our spiritual walk, we're going to definitely miss God. Amen? The Bible puts it clear that all of us were sent here by God for a particular purpose. Amen?
That's right.
Excuse me. If the Bible clearly says that we all were sent by God for a particular purpose. For we have a particular assignment. We have been assigned to do some things, and we need to particularly plan to do that. Amen?
Amen.
If you walk in your assignment, you should first be able to identify it.
Yes.
This could be very simple for some people. Why? For others, it may be very confusing and difficult. This should not be if you ask God and to lead you and give to you. Remember, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Amen? If we, a good man, be washing his blood, our steps are ordered by God. And it shouldn't be hard. We'll be talking to do what he said to do. We might have to make a particular move in order to fulfill God's plan in our life. I can remember the book of Ruth. I think about Ruth all the time. Now, Ruth began to travel. She didn't know the power of what she was saying. Say, I'll go where you go. Your God be my God and your people be my people. But she began to move from one place with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and began to follow Naomi and began to get in that position. And she put herself right smack dab in the middle of a breakthrough. Of a powerful change in our life. We have to be able to position ourselves for change. Change, position means change. Amen? Position means to change some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. You said so much. My God, you said such wonderful things. One of the things that I wanted to make allude to one fact when you just stated about Ruth following Naomi. You know, when we're talking about being properly positioned, when we look at in the natural realm, look at how many people may have said some negative things about Ruth following Naomi. Look at how many people may have said to her, why are you still following her? Your husband is dead. Why are you still being faithful to her? She had to listen to the ridicule of people. She had to listen to the things that people had to say, but yet, because she determined in her mind and in her heart, where you go, I go. She determined that I am going to follow you. Where you go, I'm going to go. Your God is going to be my God. She made a determination.
Yes.
And obviously, it had something to do with the conviction on the inside of her.
Amen.
Because you cannot imagine someone being that loyal and that faithful if there was no conviction. But as you stated, it led her to a breakthrough.
Yes.
And so even when we talk about the story of Nehemiah, and we're talking about being positioned,
yes.
And one of the powerful things that you were stating earlier is about in the game and how when everybody's in the game, everybody has a position. And one of the most important things about being positioned in your assignment is that when the leader said, therefore, I position the men. So, therefore, when God gives us a position, he positions us in a place that he feels like we're going to be most effective. And so it's not going to be about the position that I want. It's not going, because if you look at a baseball game, everybody wants to be the one to hit the ball to make the home run. But in a baseball game, somebody has to pitch the ball. Somebody has to be an outfielder to catch the ball. Somebody has to be on each base to try to catch and to try to make sure that the individual is out if they do hit. So it's not about what position I think that I'm best for. It's about, God, what position have you anointed me for?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about assignment and we're talking about positioning, can you imagine if we take it from a biblical story and we put it in our regular, normal, everyday life, it says here that the individuals were giving swords and spears and bows. Now, let's just think about a regular regular life activity, and you have these individuals that have been given swords and spears and bows. And you know, some of them have just been newly trained maybe on how to use these items. But Nehemiah has seen that, hey, you're good, so I'm going to put you right here. But, yeah, you may have somebody that's in the background saying, now, wait a minute, hold on. Now, I know how to use a bow. I know how to use a spear. I am well-versed on how to use a sword. Why would you give a bow or a spear or a sword to them? Give it to me because I know what I'm doing. Can you imagine? But Nehemiah may have said, no, because I have another assignment for you. That may be something that you know how to do, but I have another assignment for you to do. That came from leadership. That came from leadership because it says, therefore, I positioned the men. So it says here that it was not, the positioning was not based on your own qualification. The positioning came from what the leader had to say. Therefore, I positioned the men. And so when we're talking about this position for assignment, leadership has so much to do with it. Leadership pretty much has everything to do with it. Because if we're not adhering to our leadership, whether it be God or whether it be the leadership that God has given us here on earth, wow, we would have a problem. Even when we look at the story of Naomi and Ruth, Ruth was still adhering to the words that Naomi had to say. That was still leadership.
Amen.
He still had to be conducive to what it is that God sent him to do. That was leadership. The Holy Spirit has to still be in subjection to what God the Father and the Son has to do in your life. That's still about leadership. When a mother gives birth to a child, the child has to adhere to what the parent has to say. That's leadership. When money is being put in your pocket and the Word of God says to make sure you pay your tithes first, you're still adhering to leadership. When you go into the church and the pastor is over everyone and the pastor has those that are under him, the pastor is still considered the leader. That's still, because even though those that are under the pastor have been placed in a particular position, they still have to adhere to what the pastor has to say. That's leadership. So every part of our life, we have leadership. And so if we have leadership that we have to be accountable to, in every area of our life, we have to hear leadership. Woman of God, what are your thoughts about that?
You have to have somebody to lead. Like I was saying earlier, woman of God, that even in a baseball game or a football, whatever game it is, the coach is considered the leader. Now, the coach sees all the players, and he said to teach me, put each person in position as he sees fit, what they're good at.
Absolutely.
One might be a hitter and hit every ball and make a home run. One might be a good outfielder, and he'll place those people strategically. Why? So they can win the game.
Yes. That's the bottom line. God made us to be winners. And, you know, I was sharing with someone just the other week that, you know, I shared that even when I came to Louisiana, that I was born to win. And the way we are winners is that we abide in our own calling. We stay in the place that God has placed us to be. The only way we can win is if we are properly positioned doing our assignment. If you and I are in a game or whatever, a field together, and your assignment is to go left and my assignment is to go right, and I decide I feel better doing what you do than I feel like I can do what I do, so I want to do what you do, then I'm not going to be a winner there because I'm going to be doing what you've been told to do.
Mm-hmm.
Winner does not mean that you're a loser and I'm a winner. When I say that I was born to win, what God said to me, within the body of Christ, God has designed for every single saint, every single believer to be a winner. He never intended for me to say I'm a winner and you're a loser. We were born to win, but the only way we're going to win is if we are hearing what God has to say and doing what God instructs us to do.
Hallelujah.
The reason why we run into something that's called losing, or that even appears that we're losing, is we're not doing what God has called us to do.
Amen, amen.
And when we find ourselves, because there's a difference, you know, there's two things we have to look at. One is that whenever we start to do anything for God, we're not going to start and be an overnight success all the time. There are times when all the things that we go through are teaching us. They're helping us. They're giving us the wisdom that we need to hear from God, to be what God has called us to be. So we cannot mistake our learning moments for losing moments. We cannot mistake the times that God is not allowing success to manifest immediately to be a time to say, oh, I'm a loser. No, you're a learner. And so when God is teaching us, that's one thing. But when you find yourself smack dab in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing, you're going to lose because that's not what God wants you to be.
Amen.
Bishop made a statement on Sunday that I thought was powerful. Again, he's teaching about marriage, and it's called the marriage factor. And he made a statement, and he said someone had asked the question, and he's teaching about contract relationship versus a covenant relationship. And so an individual had a question and said that how can I get my covenant relationship to be how can I turn my contract relationship into a covenant relationship if I feel like I'm constantly being hurt in this relationship? And one of the things that he stated, he said the first thing that you have to do is you have to ask, did God place you in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I thought, was just the cusp of it all. It was the bottom line. What did God have to say about this? And so many times, women of God, I've discovered, you know, it's so easy for us. God gives us so much freedom here on earth realm. And, you know, there are times when God is such a God of grace and he's such a God of mercy. Sometimes, you know, he gives us a long rope to travel on before he jerks the rope back and says, okay, now come on back. Let's get you back where you need to be so you can get in proper alignment so I can get you doing what I've called and ordained for you to do. And so one of the things that as people, because God has given us such freedom and he's been such a living God, there are so many times that we have, you know, we have such mindsets of our own that we sometimes can conjure up what it is we want to do. And we can conjure up how we want to do it. And we can, you know, pretty much write our own story, I guess I want to say. And God just kind of sits back sometimes and he's waiting on us to say, okay, what do you have to say about this story that I've written? And sometimes we never get to the point of asking him, what do you have to say about this? And so when we don't take the time to acknowledge him, to hear him, and to get clear guidance from him, we wound up going in a direction that he never intended for us to go in. And we wound up receiving hurt and pain, all type of things that he never intended for us to endure. That was never his intention. But because we wanted to write our own story, you know, I'm very, you know, I'm not elusive when it comes to my own testimony. Woman of God, I can personally say I've been there my own self in my past life. I can absolutely say I can look back on my own life and I can say, well, I've done that myself. And I dealt with something, and we're definitely not getting off the subject, but I've had to deal with my discernment versus my desire. I've had to deal with that. And many times, you know, when we're talking about positioning and we're talking about assignment, one of the major aspects that we as people have got to deal with is our discernment versus our desire. Because there are times when discernment tells us that's not for you. Discernment speaks to us and says, God has not called you to do this. Discernment says that's not the will of God, but desire says, I want it. Desire says, I got to have it. Desire says, let me try it out. And when we decide that we're going to choose desire over discernment, what we're doing, when we choose discernment, we're saying yes to God. When we choose desire, we're saying yes to us. And so then we make up our minds that instead of me going with discernment, I'm going to go with desire. I'm not going to say yes to God. I'm going to say yes to me. And when I say yes to me, what happens is that I have to deal with the consequences of my desire. And when I say yes to me, I'm saying yes to God. My positioning becomes way off. Where God has intended me to be a batter, I'm way out in left field being a catcher.
Mm.
And now the whole game is being played, and I'm out of place. I'm out of position. I'm not in the place where he intended for me to be. And then, woman of God, look how many years we waste. Look how many days, how many hours, how many months, how many seconds. Look how much life we miss out on. There was a story I read on this week that there was a man, a gentleman, that had been put in prison for 22 years for a murder that he did not commit. And when he came out of prison, he was released from prison on last year. And by the time he was put in when he was 18 years old for a murder that he did not commit. And the story went on to say, a year later, they actually found the individual that did the murder, but they never released this man from prison. And for 22 years, they kept this man behind bars because of a murder that he did not commit. While he was in prison, the Bible says he endured rape several times. As a result, he contracted HIV. The man had been locked up for 22 years. Right before his trial, when he was 18, his girlfriend was pregnant. So his girlfriend gave birth to a daughter. 22 years, he was not there for his child. He cannot raise her. He cannot see her in school. He cannot hear her say her first words. He cannot see her take her first steps because of something he never did do. He was wrongly convicted. Now, when he came out, they had to award him, and they awarded him $9.1 million because they kept him locked up for so long. But now he has HIV. Yes, God blessed him to get a wife, and God is a healer. God can heal him. But look how much that man lost, and look at the price he had to pay because of a murder that he didn't commit. In the wrong place at the wrong time. People of God, there's too much life that God has given each person to live. Why waste our life running behind desire when all we have to do is stop and let God give us discernment? Why? Some of us, 25, 30, 40, 50, God has only given us one life to live. Well, in my case, he resurrected me, but however, he gave us this life to live.
Yeah.
So now while we have this life to live, woman of God, I don't want to live my life wasting my life.
Amen.
Run behind desire when in reality I could have stopped and gotten discernment.
Yeah.
I want to be properly positioned. I want to be at the right place at the right time to fulfill my assignment. If God says that by the time you're 50, this is where I intend for you to be, I want to be on those steps.
Hallelujah.
I want to be headed in that direction. If God says, listen, imagine this. If God were to say, this is just the totally wrong path, totally not the lane that you're supposed to be in. You're totally out of the field. You are not supposed to be here. I intended for you to be there. You have to stop and say, okay, in 5 years, in 10 years, if I continue on this route, where would I be? I won't even go to 5 years. Let's go 5 days. In 5 days, if I continue on this route, where am I going to be? And if I continue doing this in 5 days, I'm not going to be any better in 5 days than I am right now. But if I turn away from desire and I choose discernment in 5 days, I can see something that I'm not seeing right now. How ridiculous is this for us to continue to go around and around and around in a place, in a position to do an assignment that God never ordained for us to have? What do you have to say about that, woman of God?
Woman of God, I just feel led to say this, and I don't know if it's for someone listening, but let me just give you a brief testimony about this prophetically speaking broadcast. We do this on every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. One time we did it at a later time, but it was always, but we did it. And people look they take positions, be it for natural positions or I'm getting paid more money and whatever, but people take positions in Christian stations or Christian places, and they look for how much money they're going to get, or they do it for the money. But let me tell you, listeners, we've been doing this for going to be two years in June, and we have not been promised one dime.
That's
fine. You might sow a seed, that's fine. But we do this because we feel that first of all, when the woman of God came to me and spoke to me and said, God said I was going to be her co-host, I had never did anything like this before, but nothing. I like challenges. And I took on the responsibility, not promised a dime, wasn't looking for nothing, only wanted to be a blessing to the people of God. So we took a position, hallelujah, glory to God, and we took a position because we felt that God was saying we need to, the woman God said, I feel I need to get on the internet. I need to start saying something, prophetically speaking to people live, and let's start a broadcast. And she brought it to me, and I took on wind, and I have never missed a beat. Not because I got a finance, not because I was promised X amount of dollars, not because I wanted fame or fortune, the people know my name. I did it because God, I felt God was saying, do it.
Yes.
You have something to say. We need to know that when we take a position in Christ, when God strategically put you in a position, you got to do whether you get a dime or not. God's going to bless you now. Hear me now. God will bless you. But you got to take the position knowing that God's going to supply your needs. And we took this position, prophetically speaking broadcast, and I'm telling you, God, I have been blessed in my spirit. I have been blessed in my body. I've been blessed because I know that I'm treading right in the position, one of the positions that God has called me to walk in.
Yeah.
And that's the key. That when you take a position, the men that were going to try to rebuild the city, do you think those men want to walk around with guns and put their families and life at stake and do things? But they did it because they wanted Jerusalem to be rebuilt, and they listened to their leader.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So I'm saying that to someone, that whatever God has called you to do, whatever position he has called you to take, you need to take that position and know that God said, I shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You need to take that position. Now, you know God's going to, God said, I'll bless you. I swore by my name I will bless you. But when you take a position, when you orchestrate to do a thing for God, do it with all your heart.
Yes.
Do it with all your spirit. Do it with the obedience that you're walking in obedience and fulfilling the call of God on your life. Many of us call to many positions, but I'm speaking about this position here because it's relevant right now. This is what we're doing at this very minute, and I'm telling you, I'm loving it. I don't know who's listening. We don't know if people listen, but we know we do this as unto the Lord.
Yes.
And God gets the glory. Pastor Tonosi don't get the glory. Jenkins don't get the glory. God gets the glory because only what we do for Christ will last.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Woman of God, just felt to say that, and I hope someone received what the Spirit of God is saying, because I know what I'm talking about.
I know that God strategically put people in places for a reason. Because somebody going to listen to the broadcast and the woman of God going to say something that's going to change their whole life, going to shift them in another gear, going to shift them, shift their atmosphere. God said, I sent, who was it? She went to the king, to the, I'm losing my thought. When she went to, just came the queen.
Esther
went to the palace for such a time as this.
Yes.
We are placed on this broadcast for such a time as this in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, woman of God.
Yes, I tell you, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. And I think when we talk about assignment, positioning, it is just so important. And I think that, you know, timing of it all is important. And to me, I'm so passionate about God. I love God. I stated that on last week. I love God for real. And when we talk about positioning, when we're talking about assignment, it really has to be something that is birthed out of the womb of God. It has to come from God. We don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste people's time. We don't want to just be found doing something just to be doing it. You know, we want to be really busy doing what it is that God has called us to do. And that backdoors with Prophetess Jenkins has said, that's why we do what we do. And I tell you, I get a joy out of doing what I do. Not looking for money, not looking for fame. I really get a joy out of doing what I do. And I thank God for it. And, you know, even woman of God, because that preach is just in me, that the word of God is in me, me being on this hiatus, as I stated at the beginning of the show, not being on the road as I normally am and not being as busy as I normally am, it gives me an opportunity to vent those revelations and to vent the word of God that has been placed on the inside of me. It still gives me an avenue to be able to speak what thus says the Lord. And so I'm just thankful for this particular radio show, and I'm thankful for all of the listeners. And allow me, even at this moment, to send out an apology, because we were on the radio a couple of weeks ago, and the broadcast was so good. I looked and I noticed we had three callers that were waiting to come on and to give comments. And let me give my apologies to you that I had my studio pulled up, but I did not take the time to get those calls on so that we could hear your comments and allow you to add to the conversation. And so I want you to please forgive me for that. But we will continue to pay attention to our calls and so that we can allow you to say what it is that God has given you to say. But as we get ready to shut this down, I want to just encourage you all as we're now, and we're talking about not just for me and not just for Prophetess Jenkins, but this is the word that God has given us for the body. This is time for you to walk in your assignment. It's time for you to go in the place that God has been prepping and preparing for you. It's time for you to enter into your due season. And we want to just encourage you that as you go, that you're going to be positioned, that your ears are open to your leader, your leadership, that you're going to be trained and you're going to be equipped, that if God has already done, and God will position you for your assignment. And as you are positioned for your assignment, the next thing that's going to come is your prosperity. Because when you are positioned, God then brings your prosperity, because God has no need of bringing your prosperity if you have no reason to use his money. He's not just going to just give you the money just to waste them. But once you are positioned for your assignment, your money that you need to come forth to do what God has called you to do, it's on the way. So we just want to give you encouragement on today. One of the words, the revelations that God gave me, I'm preparing for this broadcast, I want you all to take that word with you. I'm actually going to do more writing about that so that I can produce a book about that, because it just really hit me in my spirit, and that is discernment versus desire. So as you all go today, I want you to remember discernment versus desire. Let God speak to you. Don't just allow your desire to speak to you, but let God speak to you. And let God be your leader, and let God be your guide, not just your flesh. And so, woman of God, we're going to get ready to go from this place, and we're going to be back into this place again on next Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m. And on next Tuesday, we're going to be able to give you more updates about what TB Ministries is doing, because we are now at the place to where we are now becoming more mobile. We have more speaking engagements that's going to be coming to us in the month of April. We should be back on the beaten path and doing what it is that God has orchestrated for us to do. And I have postponed my visit to Louisiana, but we're going to be back on schedule, Woman of God, real soon, so I can be there to do our book signing. And I just want to wish everyone a wonderful and a safe holiday week, as we have so many of our children out on spring break. And so I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over all of you, and to speak that all of our children will be well, there will be no negative incidences to occur, and that the same way they came into this break safe and well, that's going to be the way they're going to come out of this break.
Amen.
So we're trusting and believing God, there will be no beach fatalities, there will be no car fatalities, there will be no life fatalities, but we just give God praise that our children are covered in the blood and that all is well, and they're going to come out of this spring break better than they were when they went in. And so, woman of God, I love you, and I bless God for you. I want to encourage you, those of you, let me just give a real special shout-out, because remember I told you about this month. This is a very different, a very strategic month for us at the Harvest Time Church. I expressed to you earlier in the month, and even on last month, this is our month of MAD, Making a Difference. That's our thing throughout the year. But normally people say March Madness. We're saying we're March Mad. We're making a difference in the month of March. So I want to encourage you all to come out to the Harvest Time Church. We're located at 17770 Imperial Valley Drive. Those of you that are married, I really, and those of you that are into relationships, and I really want to encourage you on this month with this series that we have right now with this topic. We are preparing for promotion, but right now we're talking about the marriage factor. Bishop has opened up a can of worms, I'm telling you, and it's good. He's answering questions. He's allowing you to ask questions. He's giving some biblical references. He's letting us know what God has to say about relationships. So for those of you that have some questions, you have some concerns about your relationship, one of the things that Bishop Beatty stated on last Sunday, don't ever come to the services saying, I'm so glad that they're here. I'm so glad that they're here. We want to be glad that you're there so that God can do what he needs to do for you as well as them. So I invite you to come. Tomorrow we're going to be in Bible study. Bible study is going to be starting at 7 o'clock p.m. If you want to come and be in prayer for church, that service, that we have prayer that actually starts at 6:15. So you're able to come and pray with us for the service, and then service itself begins at 7 o'clock p.m. We're looking forward to having you. If you are looking for somewhere to worship, remember this month, the month of March, you're going to be getting a treat every single Sunday in the month of March. So we're looking forward to having you there. Prophetess Jenkins, where do we need to invite them to come on tonight?
I invite everyone, listener out there, to come and be a part with us at Glory Victory Full Gospel Church here in New Iberia, Louisiana. The time of fellowship is 7:15 p.m. tonight, and we have intercessory prayer from 6 to 7. So I invite you to come be a part here in New Iberia, Louisiana, be close in the area. Please come and join us and come be blessed of the Lord in Jesus' name. Woman God, I just want to ask you to, would you just say your P.O. box? If someone want to sow a seed unto this ministry, I just feel led that you need to sow a seed into the prophet. And God said you'll reap a prophet's reward. You need a prophet's reward right now. So I just ask that you just give your P.O. box again, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. We're at P.O. box 680812, Houston, Texas, 77268. That's P.O. box 680812, Houston, Texas, 77268. Anything else, Prophetess Jenkins?
No, ma'am. That's it. God bless you. Bless time.
Yes, and I had a wonderful time as well. As always, I thank God for your insight, and I thank God for your revelation. And for all of our listeners, we want to thank God for you, and we want to invite you to come back on next Tuesday, 3 o'clock p.m. We're going to be looking forward to saying a word unto you about what God has given unto us. Until we meet again, God bless you. We're signing out. God bless you, Prophetess Jenkins, and we'll
God bless you, and also, Prophetess.
Thank you. You all have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.